Ephesians chapter 6, and we're considering this evening verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So tonight we want to consider the shield of faith. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter while he was in bonds. He may have been robbed of his freedom and liberty. He may have been denied fellowship with those whom he loved. But no magistrate and no judge could take from Paul his thoughts and his meditations while he was shut up there in prison. So Paul, as he lay in chains in a cold, damp, dark prison cell, had plenty of time to think. He looks at the chains which bound him and at the walls that surrounded him. He views the great door of that cell which is bolted and barred against him. And then his eyes rest for a time upon the dress of his Roman guard who stood watch over him. He takes particular notice of his armor, an armor designed for war, an armor designed for battle, for attack and for defense. So the imprisoned apostle thinks of the Christian and his spiritual warfare, the spiritual battle that every child of God is engaged in. Paul thinks of the armor that the Christian needs to fight this battle. For the Christian soldier must be likewise dressed, even as this Roman guard that stood watch over the apostle. Christian soldier must have the girdle about his loins, and that girdle must be the girdle of truth. His breastplate must be that of righteousness, and his feet must be shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And Paul says, above all, mark the words, above all, he must take the shield of faith, wherewith he shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So the imprisoned apostle comes to describe the shield of the Christian soldier, and he describes it as the shield of faith. There is something particular to be noticed about this shield. The word shield is the word thuros, and refers to a large shield. Indeed, the word comes from the word thura, which means door. And so we see that the shield that Paul is here speaking about is a large shield. It's like a door. It is large in size. And we can see the sense of what Paul was speaking of here with regard to the shield of faith. It's a large shield. It's the size of a door. And being a large shield that compassed the whole man. When the soldier was under attack, he could hide behind this shield. Not one part of his body would be exposed to the enemy. And how well Paul named it, the shield of faith, because our faith is like that shield that compasses the whole person, the whole spiritual man. Psalm 5 and verse 12 declares, with favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield. So in this spiritual warfare, the child of God is to take the shield of faith. The shield of faith is to compass the whole man, the whole spiritual soldier. Being such a size, the shield, not only would it compass the man and compass the person and the soldier himself, but it would also cover all the other pieces of the armor. And so when you think of each piece of the Christian's armor, we're told there that the Christian was to stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth. So the girdle of truth was covered by faith. And also the breastplate of righteousness was covered by faith. And the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. My, when we preach the gospel and sow the gospel seed, what do? We sow it in faith, praying that the seed of the gospel will fall in good ground and bring forth fruit, even 100-fold. And take the helmet of salvation, as we will see in a moment or two. We receive salvation through faith, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. We wield that sword, and we do so once again, by faith, and praying always with all prayer and supplication, we pray also by faith. And so faith, the shield of faith, covers every part of the Christian's armor. Above all, Paul says, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So we notice here immediately the preeminence of the shield of faith. As far as the armor of the Christian is concerned, the shield of faith holds a prominent place. Paul here tells us in verse 16, in our text, above all, taking the shield of faith. Notice something else. If you read through the Christian's armor, you will discover that there are 7 pieces to the Christian's armor. You have the girdle of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, you have the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You have the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the spirit, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You say that of 6 words. What soldier would go out against the enemy without prayer? Prayer is a weapon. And prayer is mentioned in verse 18. So there you have the complete armor for the child of God. Here's the perfect armor for the child of God as the child of God faces the enemy. Now note then where the shield of faith comes in. It's the central piece of armor. And so it has that prominent place, that preeminent place in the Christian's armor. It is central. The armor of the believer. That's why Paul says, above all, it is central. We cannot, dare not go out against the enemy without faith, without exercising faith. We dare not go out and preach the word without once again doing it in faith. So Paul says, above all, taking the shield of faith. We see just how preeminent faith is as far as the Christian is concerned when we first of all consider it its place relating to our salvation. As soldiers of Jesus Christ, we cannot be true soldiers of Christ unless we have been saved and saved by grace through faith. So we see the preeminence of faith in regard to salvation. Look at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. There we see that faith is mentioned again with relation to salvation. 2 Timothy 3 verse 15. And that from a child. Thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Faith in Jesus Christ. We cannot be saved except we are saved through faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember how, during the Lord's ministry, how often he admired faith that was exercised by those whom he was pleased to heal. Even the Syrophoenician woman. There as the Lord went to the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and she requested that the Lord would heal her daughter and cast out the evil spirit from her daughter. And when she made that request, we read, he answered her not a word. But she didn't give up beseeching the Lord and pleading with the Lord and praying to the Lord. When she was finished, the Lord commended her faith. I have not seen such faith. No, not in all of Israel. The Lord admired her faith, commended her for her faith. And others he said, thy faith hath saved thee. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And so we can see then the preeminent, the prominent place that faith holds in the life of the believer, even from the very beginning in our salvation. From that moment on, faith must have a prominent place in the life of the believer. Paul tells us in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please God. By that places faith in a very prominent position. Without it, we cannot please God. If we do not have faith, if we do not exercise faith, we're not pleasing God. And surely, dear child of God, that is our desire, to please God. If we want to please God, then let us exercise faith. Let us, above all, take the shield off. So we see the part that faith has to play and had to play in our salvation and also in our separation. Our separation from the world. Our separation from the ungodly. Once more in Hebrews, this time verse 8 of chapter 11. The apostle speaks about the faith of Abraham, and he speaks of that faith with regard to Abraham's separation. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out, into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, Obed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. He didn't know where he was going. But he went by faith. Faith that was resting upon the Word of God. He had faith in the Word that the Lord would lead him to that place where he wanted him to go. And so he exercised faith. And he separated from that place where he had dwelt. Supposing Abraham went out by sight, supposing he was living his life by sight and not by faith, why, Abraham would have said, I cannot leave my native land. I cannot leave my friends. I cannot leave my family. I don't even know where I am going. How can I go out? I don't know where I'm going. Isn't it as well that Abraham did not walk by sight? But rather, he walked by faith. And here you have faith exercised with regard to his separation. I think of the men who separated from the earliest Presbyterian churches that brought about the formation of our denomination. And those men left the apostasy. And they had no idea of the price that they would have to pay for their separation. Because it was quite a major step in a close-knit community for men to leave their church and go out and take their stand for God outside the camp. It was quite a step, but they weren't walking by sight, they walked by faith. And men knew that they would lose business. Those who had businesses knew that they would lose business. People would refuse to deal with them anymore because of their stand against apostasy, but they went out anyway and they walked by faith. Trust was in God. Oh, dear child of God, may we be like even the founding fathers of our denomination, men who walked by faith and lived by faith. They separated by faith. You think of Abraham again. You think of the difficulty of leaving family and friends. But he was able to accomplish that step, did it by faith. You think of the danger, because the Lord had called him out to go out and to go on to a place that he should have to receive. But Abraham didn't know where he was going. Think of the danger involved in that. Went by faith. Think of the distance. Where was he to go? He would most certainly would have to travel a considerable distance from home until he got to the place where the Lord wanted him to be. He went that distance, and he walked by faith. That's why Paul says, above all, taking the shield of faith. And believer, we must live by faith. We battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil, and we need the shield of faith to do so. If we are to be victorious, we need the shield of faith. That's why Paul says, above all, taking the shield of faith. The eminence of faith is also seen in our supplication, in our prayer life. We've already mentioned that in verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit and watching thereunto, with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. If faith is needed in salvation and in separation, most certainly faith is needed in our life of supplication. We need faith when we come to pray. We need to exercise faith. It's an important part of any man or woman's prayer life. We'll never accomplish anything for God if we do not pray in faith. After all, we're praying for something. We must pray in faith, believing that God is going to answer that prayer and grant us the very desire of our hearts. James tells us in his epistle, chapter 1, and verse 6, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, nothing wavering, but ask in faith. Why, when it comes to our times of prayer and supplication, how many of us would need to take Paul's exhortation to heart when he says, above all, taking the shield of faith. Because when we do come to pray, often, we do often waver. In a way, at the back of our mind, there is that niggling doubt. When we ask God for a certain matter, there's that niggling doubt, I wonder. Wonder, will this prayer be answered? I wonder, is God able to answer this prayer? James says, let us ask in faith, nothing wavering. Now, when you think of the shield again. It's not one of those small shields, but it's the large shield. Size of a door. Paul says, taking the shield of faith. In other words, he tells us to have large faith. Great faith. Not small faith. Great faith. The Lord Jesus had to at times upbraid the disciples for their little faith. And even when they feared the storm and feared they would drown and their little vessel would sink in the midst of the storm, the Lord Jesus even rebuked them and said, O ye of little faith. He went on to say, ye have no faith. No faith. In Romans 4, we read there in verse 19, regarding the great man of faith, even Abraham. For there we read in verse 19, and being not weak in faith, not weak, not small in faith, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You see, great faith glorifies God. Oh, for great faith. Oh, that we might live a life that glorifies God. Oh, that we had a prayer life that glorifies God. Great faith glorifies. Here is Abraham. The Lord had promised him a son when he was 75 years of age. As far as Abraham was concerned, well, there was hope of him having a son when he was 75, but I wonder, what about when he turns 100? He passes his 100th birthday. Surely it would be impossible for Abraham to be blessed with a son when he was 100? Possible. No. Not while he had faith in God. Not while there was a God in heaven. And being not weak in faith, he considered not. He didn't even consider the fact that he was an old man. Didn't matter. God could overrule. And God did overrule. And God honored the faith of Abraham and honored the promise that he gave to Abraham and blessed him with a son, even Isaac. Oh, may we not stagger at the promises of God through unbelief, but let us be strong in faith. Let us, above all, take the shield of faith. Above all, may we take the shield of faith. It will see us through many a battle. It will. The battles that we have with unbelief, the battles we have with doubt, the battles we have with that whispering comes from the devil when we pray. The devil whispers in our ear and he tells us God doesn't hear. God will not answer. Let us above all take the shield of faith. It'll give us the victory. Faith is the victory we were singing tonight that overcomes the world. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Remember again the words of the Lord Jesus to the disciples recorded in Matthew 21 and verse 21. There the Lord Jesus answered and said unto them, Verily I say unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, ye shall not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also if ye shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, it shall be done. Some of our problems and some of our difficulties loom before us as big as mountains. Let us lay hold on the shield of faith. Let us not consider the size of the mountain. Rather, let us consider the greatness of our God. And taking the shield of faith above all else, taking so we have the preeminence and the prominence of this shield in the Christian's armor. And then we think of the protection of that this shield affords to the Christian soldier. You will notice that this is the only piece of armor of the seven mentioned here. The only piece of armor that Paul tells us what it's for. Paul says in verse 14, having your loins girt about with truth, he doesn't elaborate. Rather, he goes on to the next piece of armor, having on the breastplate of righteousness. But he doesn't tell us what the breastplate of righteousness is for. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. But he leaves it there. But in the case of the shield of faith, Paul says, taking the shield of faith, now he explains. Now he develops the teaching. He says, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, of all the rest. Of all the other pieces of the armor, Paul simply exhorts the believer to put them on. But here he develops it a bit further, the teaching regarding the shield of faith. And he says, you'll be able to use this field of faith, this shield of faith, you'll be able to use it to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That's what you'll be able to do with it. Another word for dart here is the word arrow. To be able to quench all the fiery arrows of the wicked. And of course, we are aware that whenever bows and arrows were used in battle, very often the warrior would have something on the end of the arrow and set it alight so that it would become a fiery arrow. It is the fiery arrows of temptation that very often brings down the soldier. Very often the fiery arrows are the fiery darts of the wicked one. Fiery darts of temptation often slain many a soldier. He's fallen by the wayside when he yielded to temptation. I'm sure even now as we speak about it, you can think of someone, you know of someone who's yielded to temptation, succumbed to temptation, and they're no longer in the Lord's army. They're no longer fighting the cause of Christ. They've been wounded, put to one side. We need, that's why Paul said, above all, taking the shield of faith. We need the shield of faith that we might be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Lamentations 3 and verse 12, he had bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. The devil has bent his bow and he sets each one of us as a mark for his arrow. And we must face the temptations of the devil every day. Those burning arrows. The devil aims in our direction. You think of the arrow. We need the shield of faith to protect us. For arrows are silent. You can hear the arrow coming. It is a silent weapon. Think of temptation. The devil doesn't happen to warn us that he's going to tempt us. No. The enemy that he is, he creeps up on us. The temptations will come our way from directions that we least expect. The arrow silent. And before we know it, if we do not have the shield of faith, before we know it, that arrow has wounded us. It has taken us unawares. So the devil's about, he's about to take us unawares. Something else about the arrow, it's not only silent, it's swift. Cuts through the air. Paul said, the man who thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. My, when we hear of some in the Lord's army falling by the wayside, we say to ourselves, oh, I would never do that. Oh, I would never yield to that temptation. I would never fall as that man has fallen. We're only fooling ourselves if we say that. Any one of us can fall. It's our nature. It's in our nature. The old man is still with us. And the old man can rise up. The old man has had his resurrection from time to time. I tell you, believer, we need to take hold of the shield of faith. Because Paul says it's the shield of faith that will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. You think of David and how quickly and swiftly David fell. Only a glance. He didn't go to war in the days that kings went to war. He stayed at home. That was a mistake. And a glance in the direction of Bathsheba, and before he knew it, David had fallen. How swiftly he had fallen. How we need the shield of faith. Paul says, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Faith is the victory. Faith will give us the victory. We'll be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. Arrows are not only silent and swift, they're also sharp. I, when a soldier is hit by an arrow, he feels the pain of it. Feels the sharp cutting edge of the arrow. The believer, whenever the devil slays us with the arrow of temptation, we feel it. We feel the pain of it. The pain of feeling the Lord again. Psalm 120, verse 4, speaks about the sharp arrows of the mighty. Sharp arrows of the mighty. And my, whenever the sharp arrow of the devil pierces us through, we feel the pain. Feel the Lord. We've let him down. And for days, our conscience troubles us. Above all, then, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith he shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That then leads us to the power of this shield of faith. Paul says, with the shield of faith, we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So no arrow of the devil will be able to penetrate this shield. This shield will be able to deflect and ward off every arrow that is aimed at us by the wicked one. Here's the commanding power of the shield of faith. Paul says, taking the shield of faith wherewith he shall be able to quench. To be able to quench that fire that is in that temptation, that burning fire, with the shield of faith, we'll be able to quench the fire. When we quench the fire, then the arrow will be rendered useless. Shield of faith will take the power, the cutting edge from the arrow of the wicked one. So let us then take the shield. Commanding power. Conquering power. Mark the words again. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. All. In other words, not one weapon in the armory of the devil, not one weapon in the army of hell is superior to the shield of faith. The shield of faith is superior to anything, any weapon that the devil has. So, we can enjoy this conquering power and victory if we take hold of the shield of faith. Once more, let's turn to that chapter on faith, chapter 11 of Hebrews, and how the shield of faith in the hand of God's servants of the past was able to defeat the wicked one. Remember, this is the chapter on faith, and we read in verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtain promises, stop the mouths of lions. Verse 34. Quenched, there it is. Quenched the violence of fire. Escaped the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong. Waxed valiant in the fight. Turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Faith quenched the violence of fire. Shield of faith will be able to quench the violence, the fiery darts of the wicked. Believer, we need to get a good grip, a good hold on the shield of faith. How well John puts it in his first epistle, chapter 5, verse 4, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." We are overcomers while we have a hold of the shield of faith. That would then lead us to us having confidence in this power, even the shield of faith. Notice what Paul says, "Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able." He doesn't say you may be able, or it's possible you will be able. No, he says ye shall be able. Isn't it good to be able to deal with definite? And here is something that is most definite. Shall be able to quench all fiery darts of the wicked. So we can face any foe and enter into any battle with confidence, knowing that if we have the shield of faith, we shall be overcome. For we shall overcome the world. How? By the shield, having the shield of faith. So let us be good soldiers of Jesus Christ and know the victory over the evil one, quenching every fiery dart that he may hurl in our direction. We'll be able to do it if we have the shield of faith. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let us bow now in prayer. Dear loving God and gracious Father, we bless thee for the shield of, we know, Lord, that this shield is not manufactured by us. But, O Lord, faith is a gift of God, and so the shield of faith comes from God. And, O Lord, we know that if the shield of faith is given to us by God, then the devil has nothing that is superior to that shield. May have many a weapon, but Lord, we rejoice tonight is nothing superior to the shield of faith. And so, Lord, help us tonight as believers, as soldiers in the Lord's army. Lord, help us to get a good grip upon the shield of faith. Even as Eliezer had a good grip on that sword, that the sword became part of him. Lord, may the shield of faith become part of us, that we'll walk by faith and live by faith and go out by faith and come in by faith. Lord, answer prayer. Bless the word to our hearts tonight. Help us, Lord, to put on the whole armor of God. Gracious Lord, we have then a complete armor. And we will be the victor. Will overcome. Praise the Lord. We will overcome. Our Lord, be with us as we leave the house of God tonight. We thank thee, Lord, for all who have come to the house of God. Now, Lord, be pleased to bless us as we make our way home. And all of us, Lord, tonight, we pray that we'll know thy abiding presence with us, whether our journey is short or a little further along the way. We ask thee, our gracious Lord, that thou wilt be with us. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be our abiding portion now and forevermore. Amen.